This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, BC's number one Toyota dealer for the sales purchase experience.
Hey, and welcome to the show. It's good to have you along for the ride this week. And if you want to jump on the phone, you're more than welcome to get on at 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898. Or 604-280-9898. And it's good to get on because we're going to be open phones today. I have to tell you, probably in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to start a few recorded shows because the old motor mouth here needs some time off going away. So there's going to be some great shows that I've got lined up with some very interesting guests, but we will not be doing open phones. So that's why I'm encouraging for today and the next few weeks to do some open phone calls, because then there won't be an opportunity. I'll give you an update on what's going on. June 1 was Friday. Every car company announces their sales from the previous month. And boy, there have been some real changes in fortunes for some of the car companies, most notably the Japanese car companies, Nissan, along with Infiniti, their luxury line, Toyota and Lexus, Honda Acura. Big resurgence in sales. Because you might remember, of course you remember, last year in March they had the tsunami and earthquake in Japan, and that really disrupted the parts that were going into cars that they make, not just in Japan but around the world, and that really affected the number of cars they could sell. So if you look at Honda and Acura, sales up 39% from the same time last year, Nissan and Infiniti up 36%, and Toyota and Lexus a whopping 64%. Now, the other thing is that there's some great new product out there. For example, I as you know, regular listeners know that I travel a lot, and you go to new car launches, and that's what they do. They invite the auto media to come and test drive the car in one location. It's easier to get everybody in one location to drive the cars in one place, and it is to ship the cars all over the country in advance of them coming out. And I've been to more Toyota and Lexus launches than any other car company, because they have, I think, 18 new cars coming in a short period of time. Now, on the domestic front, the biggest automakers in Canada are the domestics still. Now, battling for number one spot has been Chrysler and Ford since the beginning of the year, with Chrysler taking the sales lead most months, but Ford had a huge resurgence, shooting way back with a 27% increase in sales. Chrysler was up 7.4%. General Motors is just sort of cruising along. They're not having a big jump in sales, but they're losing market share, because what you have to remember, there's not just sales, there's also how big the pie is. There's only so many cars to be sold in a month, and then you divide that up, and that's your market share. So with the Japanese and the import manufacturers surging back with such strong numbers, their share of the market is getting bigger. So that's what's going on out there. The good news is there's lots of worry that the economy might be slowing down with the euro crisis, with China maybe slowing, and the American economy isn't bouncing back as quickly as some economists had hoped. So the Canadian economy and really auto sales are a harbinger of the overall health of the economy. Things are looking good. Sales are up. And if they're up 1 month and down the next, at least they're steady. And that really shows that the underlying economy in Canada is just moving right along. So that's good news. And if you don't think that the auto industry is a big part of our economy, you're sadly mistaken. That's why the news of General Motors closing a line in Oshawa. Oshawa is their main assembly plant in Canada, and they make several cars there, the Camaro, they make the Impala, they make the Chevy Equinox. And there's, from what I remember, three separate lines there. One of them is the older sort of antiquated technology, and then they have what are called flex lines. And a flex line in an assembly plant is when you have a crossover comes down, and then a car, and they can make different products on the same assembly line. In the old days, one line made one car and that was it. Now they're called flex lines, or flex plants, and they can make a certain car, then a certain truck, and that's what they're doing. They're shutting down one of the old assembly lines in Oshawa, and they're utilizing their flex lines. So it is big news to have a big plant like Oshawa take a hit like that. And the number of jobs lost has not been officially announced yet. Okay, so we have some people on the phone board, as I mentioned, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. We go to Lily first. Hey, Lily.
Good morning. I've recently acquired a 2008 Ford Escape. Did some research based on sort of my technician's feedback.
Uh-huh.
But I find that mileage is really poor. I'm getting, according to the car's readout, mm-hmm. 15 liters per 100 kilometers.
Is it the V6?
It's a V6,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
Well, it really has, there's so many, this is the thing that really is hard for people to understand, is that there's so many factors that go into, what kind of mileage you get. If you live in a hilly area, do you drive short distances? Do you, are you heavy on the throttle? Are the tires inflated? Is the air filter new? All these sorts of things all add up. Fuel mileage is not just a car and an engine and you drive it. It's a cumulative effort, right? The driver,
right.
The mechanics, the way the car is running, what kind of driving style you have and where you drive. So with your old car, what were you driving before?
I was driving a Ford Focus, which was a four-cylinder.
Yeah.
And I have been trying to use part of the technology in this car is sort of like an efficiency meter reader.
Right, yeah, yeah.
If you like it. And I've been trying to really pay attention to that and make sure that I'm driving at the most efficient level. But it's mostly city driving, mostly small trips, local.
Yeah.
Haven't been out on any highway things.
Yeah, and that's really a big killer, because if the car never warms up, like if you're not getting it through a full heat cycle of the car, then you're using, that's the most inefficient time. My wife's car, for example, we live right in the middle of the city, and she drives her car every day, but she's only ever driving it in 5 minutes in any direction, and it gets horrible mileage because of that. But the thing is, we don't drive very far, so it doesn't really matter. At the end, you know, you're not using much fuel, right? So this is what I'm going to suggest to you. Have you had the car tuned up, like a oil change, air filter, maybe a new spark plugs, those sorts of things?
I've only had the car 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just got it from the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done any of that yet.
Well, what I would suggest
the
is...
the oil change was done.
Yeah, not so much the oil change. It's more like things like the air filter. You might want to get them to check it up. Like sometimes a sensor could not be working perfectly well. Your tire pressure is vital, that your tires are inflated to the proper pressure, not the number that's on the tire, but the number that comes in your owner's manual. That's vital. So tire pressure, and then, you know, making sure the car is running properly. Another thing that you might want to do is go to, you know, Canadian Tire and get a fuel injector cleaner or a fuel line cleaner. You know, STP makes them. One that I like as well is Redline, which you could only typically get at a specialty auto parts store. But running one of those through and taking the car on a slightly longer trip will really help clean out, because if the car has always had its life driving short distances, stop and go traffic, it can literally gum up the inside of the engine.
Is there anything else I need to be aware of as a new owner of an Escape? Any outstanding issues that you're aware of?
The Escape is one of my favorites. I always talk about the Escape as, you know, it's a very simple product. They didn't try to go too overboard with technology. The new one that's coming out shortly is the opposite of that, and I really do like the Escape. But, had you called me before, I would have suggested the four-cylinder, because I think that is a great marriage with that older Escape, the four-cylinder engine and the size of the vehicle. The V6 is good, but you need to, you know, tick those things off. Get the air filter checked, check your tire pressure, run some fuel line cleaner through it, and you'll probably get better mileage.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, anytime.
Thank you.
We're going to go to, is that Eileen?
Yes.
Hi, Eileen. I just wanted to follow up on the last call there. The new Ford Escape that's arriving, I think, end of this month at dealers, is the total opposite. And they went, instead of the V6 that the previous caller had in her 2008, they've gone for a four-cylinder turbo. So you get the efficiency of the four-cylinder, but with the turbocharging, you can get the power you need. So, Eileen, what's your question?
Last year you mentioned about servicing of the cars, and they were offering you to get a fuel saver service, and I paid for a fuel kit, and that was in April of last year.
What did that consist of?
Well, it cleaning all my lines, they said, draining mm-hmm. the lines and filling them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was in April, and then in October when I brought my car in, and they did, you know, the oil change and filter and servicing and checked everything out, and it came back and said everything was fine except that I needed all my lines drained and
yeah, this sounds this is a classic case of upsell, right?
Yes.
You go in there and you should be getting what, you know, $40, $50, $60, $100 service oil change, and then they say, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we really suggest you do that. The thing is, now what year is your car?
My car is 2.5 years old.
Yeah, so it's fairly new.
Yeah.
What you need to do is get out your owner's manual, or there sometimes is a separate part inside your glove box. It's the service schedule for your car. Follow that. And you just need to say to them, listen, the schedule in the book, as designed by the engineers and the people who made your car, say that this is what's required for your vehicle. Yeah. All that other stuff is just trying to get you to part with your money, in my opinion.
Yeah, because when I was leaving, the manager came and he says, oh, by the way, did they tell you about your brakes needed servicing? And I said,
what kind of car is it?
It's a Hyundai Accent.
Oh, Ford. No. I think that, you know, you do need to get your brakes. You know, and that's should be in your schedule. If you open the book up and it says, you know, bleed the brake lines every third or fourth time you need to go in, then that's what should be done. But look at the book, get the book out. When you're there with the service advisor, say, this is what I want done. This is what the engineers in Korea designed this car to have done to it at that particular kilometer level, and that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, because I've only 21,000 kilometers.
Yeah,
on.
This sounds like they're, you know, and dealers are trying to make a living. I don't begrudge them that, but this is one of the problems. You know that there's a big problem with dealerships.
Yes,
getting people to come back and do their service with them, because there's the quickie oil places you can go to. There's the corner mechanic who can change oil. Just so long as you have the record showing that you did the service required by the manufacturer, that keeps your warranty intact. You have to maintain that schedule that I spoke of.
Yes.
But you don't have to go to the dealer. And dealers have a real tough time with retention, getting people to come back and spend their money at their store. And the fastest way to stop people coming to you is overcharging for things that you don't need.
Yeah, because I haven't even had my winter tires taken off yet because I don't even want to go back to the dealer.
Well, you don't have to. You can go back there, but you stand tall and you say to them, I only want what's in the book. Here's a perfect example. Years ago, my wife got a car, and I took it to the dealer. And if you read between the lines on some of these schedules, they say, change the oil, rotate the tires, check, 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 check. All they're really doing is visually inspecting. It doesn't really mean that they're doing anything. They're just checking things. And I said to him, well, what is it? What does this service cost? And he said, it's $150. I said, okay, let me get this straight. You're changing the oil and rotating the tires, and you're charging me $150? And he said, well, we're checking all this. I said, no, really, what you're doing is rotating the tires and changing the oil. I said, we've made the appointment. We're here. I'll go ahead. But I'm telling you right now, I am not going to bring my car here for service. I went down to a very reputable garage locally, had them do it, and the grand total was like $56.
Yeah.
So, you know, you make up your mind whether you want to, you know, beat them down on the price and the things that they want to do, or take it somewhere else.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Anytime.
I wanted to speak to you because I had heard you mention something like that about it.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get you to part with your money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds
cheers.
Good. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, quick break. We have phone lines open for open calls today, 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Always, when it's time to service your new car, this car is 2 years old, go by the schedule in the owner's manual. That's all you need to have done. That's what the engineers require. Back, and we're going to find out another good news story from Odessa next. And welcome back to the show. Each week, Mark Bergevin from Odessa Richmond Public Auction joins us on the phone. That's the voice you hear there. And what car went across the auction block and gave you a good news story? What's the story this week, Mark?
The good news story this week, Zach, is a 2008 Chevy Aveo, a black little four-door car, 45,000 kilometers on it. Anyway, the customer heard about us on the radio once again. They heard actually the collector car auction stuff that we had talked about a few weeks ago. And brought the car, and they thought it'd be fun to give it a try. Put the car in the auction for Well, the appraisal came in at $4,700, and the car sold for $5,200. So off the customer goes. They're happy, quick sale, and everything worked as it's supposed to in that manner.
Yeah, I guess a little car like that with, I put gas in my car the other day. It was $1.55 a liter. So a little car like that might be sought after these days.
Yeah, that's an exciting little car. Good year, 2008, and a four-door, so a family-type car, automatic. Great for, great for a runabout around town.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Zach.
Hey, if you have a hard time remembering their website, you can always go to my website, motormouth.ca, if that's easier to remember, motormouth.ca, and then you'll see the Odessa banner at the top and click on that, and that's how you'll find them. Back to the phone board, we say hello to Billy. Hey, Billy.
Yeah. What was I calling for? Yeah, three of us bought three of your minivans.
Uh-huh.
We went traveling, up toward, Okanagan, down mm-hmm. through the U.S. Okanagan,
mm-hmm.
and then down to California and back.
Yeah.
The average gas mileage we got was 20 miles per gallon.
20. Mm-hmm. How many people were in the car?
About three.
Mm-hmm. So did you think that was good or bad?
Pardon?
Did you think that was good or bad?
According to your advertising, bad.
Which van was it?
I had the normal one. A couple of them had the other two that had the Grand.
Are you talking about the Grand Caravan? Is that the vehicle you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the are these brand new vehicles?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
brand
sometimes
new off of the, they were bought for $28,000. Yeah.
Right. Hang on a sec. One of the problems you have is when a vehicle is brand new. Often, as the vehicle gets more miles on it, it can actually get better mileage. Now, you're also telling me you're driving through mountainous area, which will affect the mileage as well. But, as I said to the earlier caller, mileage is such a finicky thing. I don't think that the posted numbers that the government makes these car companies do in the tests is accurate in any way. I've been on record saying that. I think the whole thing is a bit of a con, that these tests that the car companies are made to do are not realistic. If you want to get more realistic numbers, go to the United States. Actually, if you go to my website, motormouth.ca, and you click on research, you'll find a link to the EPA numbers in the United States, or you just type in fuel ratings US and you'll get to the site quite quickly. They do a very different test than we do in Canada, so the mileage is much more realistic, and you can actually see on there what people who own the vehicle, what kind of mileage they're getting, and often they're quite close. You have to convert it off, obviously, back to a metric or imperial gallons. Remember, the gallon is different, to get a more realistic number. But the numbers we have in Canada, in my opinion, are really a joke. We're going to come back and continue to take your calls. Tim, Peter, Jerry on the phone board. More next on Driving. Welcome back to the show. We're going to get back to your phone calls in just a moment. I want to let you know that at my website, motormouth.ca, there's a bunch of new information on there. There is a review of the new F-150 EcoBoost. That's the turbocharged V6 Ford F-150 pickup truck. The new Buick Verano, I think one of the best cars I've driven so far this year. The Buick Verano, great value for the money. There's a video on that. There's also a video on the 2013 Mercedes GLK diesel. This is the new diesel that's coming at the end of this year, and it's spectacular. Also, the Volkswagen Passat is featured on motormouth.ca. You'll see that very cool video I mentioned last week about the Mercedes G-Class going over something called the Iron Shockle, which is this contraption that Mercedes takes on tour, and they drive this vehicle up and over top and down the other side at very steep angles. So that's a fun video to watch. There's also an article on the new Dodge Dart and a video I just posted yesterday about the new Prius C. That's the smaller, more nimble, fun-to-drive Prius that would be perfect for somebody who lives in the city. That's all at motormouth.ca. When you're on the site, there's also a section called Real Life, Real Lease Stories from leasebusters.com. And this story this week is about a woman who lived in the suburbs, didn't like having to take transit into work, so she leased a Volkswagen Jetta. And, you know, life changes. She moved from the suburbs into the city. So the car that she had leased to get back and forth to work really wasn't needed any longer because she could just take a very short trip on public transit to get back and forth to work. So she's got this Volkswagen Jetta leased, and she doesn't know what to do with it. And her friends keep on mentioning leasebusters.com. Well, she calls LeaseBusters and gets a no-charge lease evaluation, and Randy on the other end of the phone says, listen, you put a lot of money down on this car. You've got a very low monthly payment. This is going to be an attractive vehicle for somebody to take over. But just to make sure the vehicle moves quickly, why don't you include in the lease transfer your security deposit? So at the end of the lease, the person that is in charge of the lease at that time gets that money back. Well, sure enough, she puts it on leasebusters.com, and the phone rings off the hook. In less than one day, she meets somebody to have a look at the Jetta. She goes down to the dealership and has it transferred and finds out at the local Volkswagen dealer that they're doing several of these lease transfers every single month. That's how common it is for people to get in and out of a lease. So if you want to find out, as I mentioned, go to my website, motormouth.ca, and you'll see it there right on the homepage, real life, real lease stories.
Hey, you know what? I just was on the U.S. fuel ratings page, and it is called fueleconomy.gov, G-O-V, fueleconomy.gov. And I looked up the 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan the gentleman before the break called about, and he was saying that he got 20 miles to the gallon. And as a matter of fact, I just looked, you can look for yourself at fueleconomy.gov in the U.S., and the 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan is rated at 20 miles to the gallon, combined city and highway driving. And from the two people that have posted their mileage at fueleconomy.gov, this is the U.S. ratings, they're getting 19.2. So the caller is getting right on the money with the ratings they have in the United States. Very different than the ratings we have in Canada. Very quick explanation. We do what's called a two-cycle test. They do a test on a computer, a dyno, of simulate city driving and one that simulates highway driving. That's it in Canada. And the test is really quite short. In the United States, they have a five-cycle test. The three extra cycles are cold start, hill climb, and air conditioning. And when you add all of that in, you get a much more realistic number. And I always encourage anybody who's looking at a car and it's sensitive to the amount of fuel that the vehicle is going to use, look at the U.S. numbers. They're much more realistic. I think the ones we have in Canada are not. Back to the phone board. We say hello to Tim next. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Zach. Quick question. Driving a 99 Dodge Durango, about 3 weeks ago, my wife decided to fill it up at $60 with a Shell gas at a local gas station. Next day, car broke down, told it to the mechanic. They said the engine was, or the gas tank was completely full of water.
Wow.
So they drained out basically $60 worth of fuel, which is what we put in.
Well, that's the least of your worries, yeah.
Well, this is it. My concern is the car is running, it was always running perfect. Now it's running a little rougher, idle's a bit rougher. So other than adding methyl hydrate, so what would you recommend?
Well, what did your mechanic say to do?
The mechanic basically said go back and talk to Shell, but they won't talk to me. And basically he just said do them basically run the methyl hydrate, but not a full liter per tank, maybe about a cup per.
Yeah, there are, trying to remember now, we did a segment on driving television with STP, and they have a cleaner that you can get at Canadian Tire that helps with this, with the condensation. So I would take his advice. If it's not running the way that it should and the way you're accustomed to it, you want something that's going to, you know, get rid of that condensation that's still in the tank.
Yes.
So I would go back to him and use his advice, or you can go and maybe try a container of the stuff that I just mentioned.
How about also an injector cleaner? Would that make any difference at all?
It's all going to be in part of the same system. Whatever you put in the tank is going to go through the fuel pump, is going to go through the fuel lines, is going to go through the injectors and get burned eventually. So you
had a quick question, Zach. Having that watering tank, is it going to have hurt the engine?
It could have. That's something you should really talk over with your mechanic and see what the ramifications are of that. I have heard stories that people putting gasoline in diesel engines can cause all kinds of problems, very expensive problems.
Yeah.
So, but you know, water. I'm not a mechanic, so I can't answer your question fully. I would go on that person's recommendations, but it's running. That's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can't be good for it.
Okay.
But you want to get the condensation out, because when you get into different temperatures, atmospheric temperatures, you're going to get the liquid doing different things depending on the time of year.
Okay.
And you certainly don't want it freezing.
No.
Okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
Hope I helped or muddied the waters at all. Peter's next. Hey, Peter, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm driving a 2011 Tiguan manual, standard shift, and it's rated for 95 octane. It's very difficult to find.
Wait a sec. 95 octane. There's two ratings on your filler cap. One will say 91, and the other one is the European standards. It's different. So you only need to put 91 in there.
Well, why is it? Why they're not the same? Well,
yeah, there's different. Yeah, and you'll see it's Ron, R-O-N on there. So yeah, if you look closely at the cap and look in your owner's manual, it'll suggest
the cap says 95.
Yeah, well, that's because it's a European car. You want to put 91 in there. There's only, that's impossible to find, as you found out. Yeah. So
just about. When you cross the line, it'd be lucky if you can even find 92.
Yeah, 91 is all you need to put in there.
Is that a fact? And one more question. What's the real reason, do you think, that North America has an aversion towards small diesel engine, whether it's, it doesn't matter if it's domestic or import, not just Volkswagen, but... Why is it you go to Europe, Japanese and Ford and GM all have diesel options, and yet here...
Yeah, well, I'll explain it to you, because it's not easy for the car makers to bring the engines in. We have very strict diesel emissions in North America, much stricter than they have in other parts of the world. The fuel is different. We've only in the last 5 years or so introduced the low-sulfur fuel, ultra-low-sulfur fuel. It's still not as good a fuel as they have in other parts of the world, especially in Europe. The demand in the United States is a big factor. For example, and I know this because I just went on a Mercedes-Benz trip to drive their new GLK crossover that's coming later this year with a diesel four-cylinder, is the fact that the United States are still adverse to diesel. They only buy roughly 25% of, like, for example, if you had two vehicles, one was gas and one was diesel, on the lot, in the United States, 75% of the people would still buy the gas. In Canada, 75% of the people would buy the diesel. It's the total opposite. So you've got to remember that Canada is always an add-on to what the United States is doing in terms of the volume, and also federalizing these engines and bringing them in and all these sorts of things. All I can tell you is that diesel is very popular in Canada. In the United States, it is gaining in popularity, and we're going to start to see more of these. There's talk that the Chevy Cruze will be coming next year as a diesel option.
It's available in Europe as a diesel option.
Yes, but they have to bring the engine in and get it certified, right? It has to meet our emissions.
Right.
Mazda's bringing in their SkyActiv diesel in the next 16, 18 months. There's going to be more available. Volkswagen, your Tiguan, the next time that vehicle's updated in the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be slightly bigger and will have a diesel engine in it at that time. So, yeah, it's taking time. That's the problem.
Because I know that when I talk to my brother, he has a RAV4 manual shift, which, of course, doesn't exist here anymore. The manual shift 2.5-liter diesel with extremely high torque, so it has no problem for towing. It just won't do 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you don't need it to do that. It's a RAV4.
No, exactly.
Here's the GLK, and you can go and watch the video that I put together on my website, motormouth.ca, on the new GLK. The new GLK has a 2.1-liter turbo diesel engine, so it's not a big engine, just over 2 liters.
It
produces 369 foot-pounds of torque. That's like having a V8 under the hood.
Yes, but North America has huge amount of V8 diesels in all their big trucks.
Yes, and they all now have to have some kind of burning capacity to either filter out the soot or to burn it off, and that's what they've had to do. Listen, got to run, Peter. Thanks for calling. Hopefully I answered your question there. Still to go, open phones. Next, we're going to check in with Rick Balkin from newcarselloff.com. Next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. Rick Balkin, newcarselloff.com, joins us each and every week. Now, Rick, say I'm a person who's shopping. I've got $20,000, $25,000 to buy a car, and I go to newcarselloff.com. How does it help me?
Well, this site has been designed for those people that don't know exactly what they want. What we've done is we've been able to create a shopping environment where you sort by the type of vehicle you're looking for and the dollar range you want to spend. You know, for those that want to get real specific, you know, we're allowing you to sort by make, so that if you decide you want to buy a Ford car for under 20 grand, you can. But if you just know that you want to buy a car that's under 20 grand or 20 grand car, you can sort just by that. And what the beauty of this thing is, you can find all the best deals regardless of the manufacturer by doing it this way. So if you know you just want to get a great deal on a car, you know you've got 20 to spend, this is the way of doing it. Just sort by the amount you want to spend and the type of vehicle you're looking for.
And the other thing is, there's vehicles suggested you might never have thought of.
Well, exactly. You know, a lot of people that are shopping maybe for a Ford may never have thought to buy a Honda, or that they could even buy a Honda in that price range.
Right.
So that's where this is a really great system.
On the flip side, say I know exactly what I want. What do you do?
Well, of course, you can sort by the make, and then usually by filtering through this, the amount of listings that we've got, you may be able to find exactly what you're looking for. If in the event we don't have one listed, what we have is a sell-off alert. Use our sell-off alert, and what we'll do is inform you with an email as soon as a car that meets your criteria is posted on our site. So you don't have to come back on an ongoing basis. You just wait for the email, and you'll see an email come to your inbox as soon as the car is posted that meets that criteria.
So that's newcarselloff.com. And, Rick, hey, just under a month now, Canada Day, July 1st, we're giving away a smart car. Tell us how you enter to win that.
Well, Zach, have your listeners come to our site, newcarselloff.com. Enter the form. The entry form is on our site, just underneath the enter to win a car. And then while you're there, have a look and see the cars that we've got. You may not be in the market today, but you may know somebody in the market in the future. Suggest they come to our site as well, have a look. And then also they can have a chance to fill out their chance to win the car.
Thanks a lot. That's Rick Balkin, newcarselloff.com. Rick, we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Zach. Talk to you again.
And right back to the phone board. I know that Jerry's been waiting a while. Hey, Jerry, what's your question?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. It's Gary, but answering anything.
Oh, okay. It says Jerry on my screen. That's fine. Okay, Gary, what's up?
Quick note for Tim. A couple of years ago, probably 3 years ago now, I used to fill up my vehicles with Shell gas. I filled both my vehicles up one day. Both of them were broke down the next. Found out that my injectors and my new Chev Sonoma were wrecked and that I had to change the gas tank because of the fuel pump and the gauge was in the tank and that thing. So I went back to Shell. They paid the bill.
How did you prove it?
By receipts from my my dealer that I dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And they said at that time that it was an additive that they put in the fuel. And it was the wrong additive or something. I'm not sure what the deal was, but maybe Tim can try and get some money out of them.
Yeah, it's worth a shot, yeah.
Absolutely. I ordered a Buick Verano. I'm just wondering what you think of them. Have you had a chance to drive one?
Yeah, actually, if you go on my website, motormouth.ca, there's a video I just did about a week ago. I really enjoyed it. I thought that, you know, and here's the basis of the Verano. It's the Chevy Cruze, right? So.
Right.
You take a car that's an award-winning car. It won Car of the Year, not last year, the year before. I guess it was last year. It's smooth and quiet and a very comfortable car. So you take the basis of that, and then you make it even smoother, more comfortable, bigger engine, nicer interior, and not that expensive. So the Verano starts at around $22,500. I think loaded is still under $30,000. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. Like, what kind of driving do you like to do? Just relaxed and enjoy the day? And because if you want a smooth, quiet, comfortable car, it delivers on all those fronts.
Yeah, it should be good. I drive up back and forth the lake every week. And other than that, sometimes we go on a longer trip, but driving around in town, I found it to be the cheapest and had everything that I wanted. I looked through just about everything that you could think of before I bought.
Well, if you go and watch the video, I suggest that, you know, it could fall into a bit of no man's land because Buick still for many people isn't considered a luxury car like you would like Mercedes or BMW, Audi or Lincoln or even Cadillac, right? So they call it near luxury in the auto industry. It's a compact car, but it's one of the biggest compact cars. So what I suggest for people, if you're in the market for a midsize car like a Honda Accord, a Sonata, you know, a Ford Fusion, all of those cars that are maybe just a little bit bigger, and you don't need all of that space, a slightly smaller car, the Buick Verano, gives you all of the features you could ever want fully loaded, is going to come in, as I mentioned, under $30,000. The good news is there is going to be the turbocharged version coming for 2013. So if you're power hungry, that might be the one to wait for too.
Yeah, I got one coming, so hopefully it's going to come. It's supposed to be put on the train if they're not on strike still.
Yes, that's true. But you're going to enjoy it. I thought it was a great car. Like I said, the Cruze is such a good, comfortable car. They just made it even quieter and smoother and better. Okay?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Well, one more quick question. I'll let you go.
Yep.
EcoSaver, fuel economy.
I've seen the ads on TV. I don't know much about it. It sounds a lot like, we had a sponsor on this radio show a year or 2 years ago called Biomir. fuel additive. You might remember that. It sounds a lot like that. The fellow that owned that business went under, and I'm wondering if it's resurfaced again under this new name. I don't know anything about it, but I've seen the ads as well. It's not going to hurt, obviously, and putting some kind of the biggest trick for me is putting a regularly, you know, 2-3 times a year, putting a fuel line cleaner through your car. It's always good.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did have a thing on Fifth Estate about it, and it sounded pretty legit.
Yeah.
And I knew a couple of people had used it. I just wanted to see if you had any more info.
Okay.
On it.
Well, I'm going to go watch the Fifth Estate video because I wasn't aware of that. But thanks for the tip.
Excellent.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
All right. We're going to go next to Maggie. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Zach, my friend bought a Hyundai Tucson, 2012. What do you think?
A Hyundai Tucson is a great product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really likes it.
And she's happy?
Oh, you bet. Should I buy one, too?
Maybe you should have done the deal together. You could have got a better deal on it.
Bang for our buck.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? Here's the reality, though, that you know, new car sales, and a lot of people aren't aware of this. There's not a lot of margin for the dealer in a new car. You'd be surprised to know they don't make a ton of money selling new cars. They make all of their money in what they call the back end of the business, getting cars serviced and fixed, that sort of thing.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Like last year, I had the Tucson as my top pick in that compact
really?
Crossover. Yeah, but things have changed. I mean, I would still say in the top four. You've got the new CRV, which I think is, in my opinion, the best all-rounder. They updated that vehicle. It's a little bit bigger. The new Mazda CX-5 is also excellent. And then there's the new Ford Escape that's coming out in the next few weeks. So those four, I would say, are competing very hard for everybody's money. And then if you want something bigger, again, a vehicle like the Kia and also the Chevy Equinox. And the Chevy Equinox is a great product as well, made right here in Canada. So you've chosen, your friend has chosen an excellent product.
Okay, cool. Thank you for the information. I took my notes.
Okay. Thanks
have
a lot.
Great day.
All right, you
bye.
Too. Richard, about a minute to go. What's your question?
Yes, hello. I'm first-time caller. I'm a little bit nervous.
That's okay. I'm sorry. I'm up against the clock here. I'm almost out of time. What's your question? Maybe it'll help you in a few seconds here.
Grand Caravan, Chrysler, the advertising of $19,998.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? It's a 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan.
Yeah, I'm just going to put you on hold because you are running out of time. The Dodge Grand Caravan is the best-selling minivan in North America, and it is for a reason. It offers a lot of value for your money. I mean, under $20,000, have a big a vehicle like that is really good value, and that's why they sell so many, and I do think it's a good product. All right, all out of time. That's it. I'm Zach Spencer. Thanks for calling. We'll speak to you next week on Driving.